Rundown Nation, welcome back. Week 11, we're jumping into it. We got a special surprise for this week 11 of college football. We're bringing back Josh. Thank you for coming back, Josh. We're happy to have you.
Oh, of course. Thank you guys for having me. It's always a treat to talk some college football with y'all.
Yeah, it's a treat for us in the Rundown Nation. I will say that. Am I not correct in saying that, Mr. Story?
That is correct. It's always good to see Josh, whether that's in person or virtually, as is the case here. I see we all got the black shirt memo for tonight.
Yep, absolutely.
I didn't even
Back in
notice
black,
that.
baby.
Didn't mention that. Actually, is Georgia wearing black? Oh no, they're the away team this week. They're not
They
wearing
are the
black.
away team this week.
They're one
Hint,
of the few that
hint.
wear that black. So Vandy too when they're home, but I guess we'll be that home team black out this week for week 11 college football. I'm excited because week 10 we're going to talk about it delivered some real good upsets, some narrow escapes that move the futures lines. I don't know futures lines, excuse me. I don't know how many of you bet futures or watch them, but a lot of futures moved and they moved quick after last week's action. Maybe we'll jump into some of them. Maybe we won't have time, but you can always check us out on Twitter. We're posting stuff on there. The first CFP College Football Playoff Top 20 dropped Tuesday night as we record. It's Wednesday night, so we have that in our hands. We're going to go over that. Oh man, I'm excited for that. I'm excited to get some opinions from you guys on that, where it should be. Did they get it right? Did they get it wrong? But before we do that, let's just jump into some last week's games. One that I loved because I don't like Miami. I like when they lose, and I do like SMU. SMU taking down number 10 in the nation, Miami, 26-20. Josh, did you get a chance to watch that football game?
Yeah, I did. I tuned in, and it's, this Miami team is so frustrating. They were so highly ranked coming into it. More turnovers for Carson Beck. In Miami's last two losses, Beck has thrown a grand total of six interceptions, with a couple of them just coming in crucial gut check game moments. You can't have it.
No, you absolutely can't. In Georgia, they might have made a right move, letting him go. They didn't necessarily kick him off the team. Don't get me wrong. He's got great talent. It's a good thing he ended up at a good school. But with those mistakes, you can lose the season. And we found that out very quickly. Did you watch that Miami game, Stark?
I did not, but I did catch it. I mean, you got to be impressed with Kevin Jennings. He was very poised. I saw the highlights, threw for over 350 yards. You got to be happy with Jordan Hudson coming on. He had a down week the week before, but he's been very much a playmaker as a receiver there. So Miami, as Josh mentioned, they couldn't get out of their own way. Beck had two interceptions. They had four turnovers altogether. It was a brutal pick in overtime. I mean, big double digit, not well, not quite. I mean, 8.5 is, I'm not sure whether that closed at, but either way, if you took, you taken, took SMU on the money line, you made out quite well.
Absolutely. I mean, and if you're looking at Miami's future odds, I just mentioned how we might get to talk. I'll talk about this one. Miami was at plus 2,000 to win the college football national championship. They dropped all the way down to plus 6,000. Plus, some of that information with the college football playoff does not hurt them sitting at number 18, I believe. One game last week, too, that I was watching, Mr. Story. The Rundown Nation knows it. Texas versus Vanderbilt. The score was not indicative of this football game in any means. I will say that, but I'll let you guys give your opinion on it. Texas did win this football game 34-31 against Vanderbilt.
Josh, I got my opinion on Arch Manning, but I'd love to hear what you think now that we're 11 or 10 games in the season.
Okay, so I'm really glad that I'm coming back on the pod specifically for this reason. I believe the last time I was on here, I made a public apology to Quinn Ewers. I might be ready to take that back. Maybe this is just me playing both sides. I don't know, but one of the best things I saw from last weekend was Arch Manning. He was 25 of 33 for 328 yards. I mean, three touchdowns in, I think his last two games, he has six touchdowns to only one interception. His 75.8% completion percentage was the highest completion percentage he's had since the Red River rivalry game against Oklahoma. Maybe he has resurrected his Heisman candidacy right before our very eyes, Michael. I don't know.
It's
How do you
possible. We do
feel?
have to keep an eye on Ryan Wingo's injury. Now, they do have other playmakers, Evan Mosley, Moore there. Certainly, Wiseman looked good in the backfield. I'm disappointed. I was hoping that Vanderbilt could have pulled off an upset here, but you're right. Arch Manning does look a little more comfortable. Still, some of the balls that are coming out of his hand are just, oh, there was one that it was a short crossing route, and the thing was just wobbling like it was a bird with one bad wing. I don't quite understand. He's got very little spin on the ball that looks like an old Peyton Manning throw. You know what I mean? It's hard to watch at times, but he did look good. I mean, if you took Vanderbilt, you were sweating the whole way, but you got your cover, 3.5, right?
Hey, you're talking about that time when he was getting hit The man's staying in the pocket. He's got a pair. Let me tell you, he's trying to throw downfield and he gets hit in the arm and the ball starts wobbling. Is that the pass you were talking about, Mr. Story? I believe it is. I believe it is. There's a reason for that wobbling football. I understand what you're saying, though. He has not lived up to the hype. I love that rescind of the apology from Josh there. As a Longhorns fan, go Longhorns. You know that man's going to pick it up. Arch Manning's gonna, he's trending upwards. He's got nowhere to go but higher. Let me tell you that. I guess that's a positive thing we can say about it. But I do kind of, I wish you guys would have brought up the defense. If you were watching this football game, Vanderbilt played terrible defense at the beginning of the football game. I think I messaged our college football group message and said, hey, Vanderbilt has 500 missed tackles. And that was in the first quarter. My number might have been a little off, but 500
Seems
missed tackles. That's what I said, because they were doing so terrible at first contact, not taking down the ball carrier, not taking down the receiver. You can't do that if you want to be a top-tier football team. You have to make tackles. Vanderbilt just did not look good in this football game. I don't know that Texas looked great. Vandy just didn't play as good as they have been playing throughout the year. I wanted to mention in that one because I was
well.
watching that football game.
Let me jump on that there wall as well, because Texas defense, I think that we're kind of surprised at this late in the season how they're still giving up big chunk plays. You saw that up the seam, that Eli Stowers reception, touchdown reception, that Pavia hit him in stride at 67 yards. You also had chunk gains of 27, 22, 23, along of 25 on the ground. There's a lot that Sarkisian probably needs to clean up here on their bye week if they want to make a run in the playoffs.
Absolutely. And I did see that play. I believe you're talking about the one at the end of the game. And Texas was in a cover three, which that should not happen over the top against a cover three defense. So that is disappointing for that Texas defense. A defense that is not disappointing in any way, shape, or form. We'll jump into the Ohio State Penn State game. I'll let you guys say what you want about Ohio State's defense. But if it's not positive things, you're wrong. I'll tell you that one. The number one team in the nation, Ohio State Buckeyes, did take down Penn State last week, 38 to 14.
Yeah, I mean, they just keep checking every box on offense and especially on defense. But Julian Sain had another four touchdowns. I think that's eight in the last two games. That Julian Sain to Jeremiah Smith connection is just nasty. 6 for 123, two touchdowns through the air for Smith. Bo Jackson looks like he's a very solid replacement for Trevion Henderson this year, or for Quinshon Judkins, 13 for 105 on the ground. I mean, they smothered in the second half. They got the backup tight end, got a touchdown reception in this game. What else can you say? I mean, of course, Penn State's dealing with a ton of injuries, including their starting quarterback, so I don't think anybody expected much. Not sure. Yeah, pretty solid, pretty easy cover there for Ohio State.
Yeah, they're a well-oiled machine, Story. They just are. They're on both sides of the ball. They don't mess up. They don't shoot themselves in the foot with penalties. They're just a well-oiled machine. Julian Sain, you mentioned it, another big performance. I was taking a look at some of his year-long stats. His completion percentage versus Big Ten opponents is over 80%, guys. It's 81.6%. Like, that is mind-boggling to me. I know he's got a great offensive line and he's got two stud wide receivers, but I mean, the ball's just not hitting the ground on offense there at Ohio State. Their defense, again, is dominant, well-balanced on offense. To me, and this is coming from an IU Hoosiers fan, they're the team to beat in the Big Ten, clearly.
Well, I think your IU Hoosiers are going to get their chance there in the Big Ten championship, but there's still football to be played out. We don't know that for sure. ACC, that's something we don't know, that's for sure. Duke 46 over Clemson 45. We're talking college football here. I know college basketball started on Monday, which was fantastic. 140 games. You got to love
Well,
that. Come on.
I
You know
don't
I'm
mean
going
to
to tell that.
sidebar, but did you see the score of that Louisville game on Monday night?
No, I didn't. What was the score?
126 to 42 or something along those
Oh,
lines.
geez. Yeah.
It was 45-6 at one point. It was wild. I was at a casino bar, and I'm like, walking. They got all the games on, and I'm like, this is the game they had on the big screen. I'm like, there's got to be a better game on at this point.
That is a high score, my friend. I don't think I was making that one, probably because it might not have been a D1 team. I guess I don't know who Louisville's playing, to be honest with you. But yeah, that's a high scoring basketball game to a low score on the other side. So that's quite crazy. But here, back to college football. We're talking about this Duke team taking down Clemson. This is not something you see every year. This is new to the college football landscape. Josh, you expecting that Duke was going to come out this year and take down Clemson football team?
No, I was not. Man, how far Clemson has fallen. I know there was kind of a controversial pass interference penalty towards the end of that game that a lot of people were pretty hot and bothered about. Is Dabo on the hot seat? I don't know.
Yeah,
Like, there's been so many coaching, firings already. It's been absolutely mind-boggling. The coaching carousel this offseason is going to be just so much fun to watch. But I don't know. This is probably his worst team since 2010, when I think they were 6-7. And I'm not going to do the thing that y'all want me to do there. He turned the program around once, right? Does he get a chance to do it again? I'm fascinated to see if they move off of Dabo here.
It's probably the biggest question on every Clemson fan's mind is what happens at the end of the season. You got to figure that they're heading into week 11 with all sorts of confidence questions. I mean, Duke goes into Death Valley and wins it. And give credit to Manny Diaz. Down, he goes for two on the road to get the win. How many coaches have the cojones to call for a 2-point conversion on a game like that? I got to give them credit. That team looks good. I've got Cooper Barkate on one of my fantasy teams. He has been an absolute revelation at wide receiver for them. I'm happy for Duke. And again, I've never been a fan of Dabo Swinney, so I'm happy to see him. Don't let the door hit you on the way out, Dabo.
Well, he might be getting a little worried himself. He had a press conference where he was not too favorable of the officials for what Josh is talking about there. He actually got fined, which is not something we see very often in college football, a head coach getting fined by the conference. He got fined for his comments against the officials there. I think it was $10,000. I don't have it in front of me. I'm doing this off of memory, but he got fined, which is not something that happens very often. So, yes, I believe he thinks he's on the hot seat too. He's getting a little tempered over there. I do like him though. I'll take his side. I always thought he was a fantastic football coach. We'll jump on to another ACC football game here. Florida State, Wake Forest, 42-7. I don't know why I put this one in here thinking about it. Do you guys get a chance? I didn't watch this one. Do you guys get a chance to watch the Seminoles over there?
No, this one, I mean, this one was out of hand early. I guess because you like to say Castellanos, maybe. I don't really know. I mean, they took care of business early, like very few penalties, super balanced attack, really no drama from start to finish. I mean, that's the kind of complete performance you want to see. You would hope that, I mean, I'm sure FSU fans, Seminole fans were expecting better than a 4-4 season, but you're happy they're locked in, a little confidence when they go. I think they've got Clemson coming up this week, do they not?
Florida State?
Am I wrong about that? Do
Nope. Yeah,
You're
you're
right.
right.
Yeah,
No,
you're
okay.
right. Yeah.
They're
It's a
at
field goal
Clemson.
game. Yeah, field goal game, I
Yeah.
think.
Yeah. I didn't. I'm not gonna lie. I did not watch. I didn't tune into this game. Read some stuff afterwards. FSU was obviously dominant. Like Mike said, it was pretty much decided early. So, yeah. I think hopefully this maybe gets Florida State's some of their swagger back. I don't know. Probably not much more to add though, other than that.
No, and I'm not a big Florida State fan either. I'm not even sure why I put this one here. Maybe just to get story talking about something I'm sure he wasn't watching. That could have been the case. You got to keep this man on his toes. I know what he's watching though on Tuesday night. It was that college football playoff rankings, the first one of the year. I mean, if you are not excited when these came out, do you have a pulse? Go to the doctor, get your blood pressure checked. You might be dead because I love when we get these college football rankings and I love arguing about them. That's probably my favorite thing about them. I'll list off the top 10 here, and you guys can jump in. Tell me what you think about the top 10. Go anywhere else in that list, what you're thinking in general, what they gave. We got number one, Ohio State, no surprise to anyone. Number two, Indiana, a little bit of surprise to some people, not to me. Number three, Texas A&M. That's where they thought the flip-flop might be. Some people arguing for A&M to be in that two spot instead of Indiana. It's irrelevant, in my opinion, at this point in the season. Number four, Alabama. Number five, Georgia. Number six, Ole Miss. I'm not sure about that one. Number seven, BYU. Texas Tech sitting at eight. Oregon Ducks about to get that second loss of the season this weekend, sitting at nine. Notre Dame sitting at 10. What do you thinking, Mr. Story? I'll let you go first.
Yeah, I mean, no big surprise, no big shock here at the top. Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, maybe Texas A&M a little bit, but Alabama there, the top five, even six, Georgia and Mississippi, those all feel like teams that are kind of locked in. They're the clear top right now. Texas A&M, though, they look really, really good. They've got a very, very aggressive passing attack, and I like that a lot. I think it's interesting seeing Texas kind of on the outside looking in at number nine. Same with Notre Dame there. I think Dante Moore is going to play this week, so he's going to give your Hawkeyes a run for the money. I guess we'll see. But the bigger surprise is probably SMU, right? I mean, I'm sorry, not SMU. Oklahoma. Oklahoma's sticking around at 12. I know it was a big win over Tennessee, but they lost to Texas, and Texas jumps all the way back up to number 11. So that kind of shuffling there in the pre-teens, that's what's interesting to me, that Oklahoma's still sitting there at number 12.
Yeah, that one stood out to me, Mike. Oklahoma still being there at 12. Other than that, I didn't think there was anything super controversial. If you're an Indiana fan, you think they got it right. If you're an A&M fan, you might be arguing those schools should be flip-flopped. But I didn't really see anything that stood out to me too much other than, like you said, I think you hit the nail on the head with Oklahoma.
Well, and I think while you're kind of hinting at the number 20 team in the nation, are you not?
Number 20 team in the nation that should be number 4 or 5. Yes, sir, I am. Iowa Hawkeyes. Love seeing them with that number next to their name for the first time this season. It gets my juices flowing. I love it. AP poll. You know where they got Iowa ranked in the AP poll? I'll put you on the spot, Mr. Story, but I'll give you a hint. They're not on there.
They're
Oh, did I give you
outside.
the answer?
So,
Oh, come on.
so
I get I'm
where that what do we do does the AP rank below 25 or are
No,
we do we
they don't. To be fair, Iowa was the top vote getter that wasn't in the top 25, ergo they ranked 26, but they don't rank anything below the top 25. Still, nonetheless, we got a college football playoff committee. They know what's up. They got Iowa Hawkeyes there at number 20. I'm not going to argue with that because I'm surprised they're on there at all, to be honest with you. Ahead of the Michigan Wolverines, I know we got some fans of Michigan here interested to see what they have to say about that 21 ranking for Michigan. As far as things I think they might have got wrong, you know I'm a big Utah fan, right, Mr. Story?
Of course, of course. You think that they're a little too high there? I mean, 72 overall.
I do think they're a little too high, and I think that Josh, you remember we were talking about Utah last time you were on this podcast,
Yeah,
were we not?
we sure were. Yeah, they had a big game against Arizona State, I believe,
Was Arizona
and
State?
that was my lock for the podcast. And then 2 days later, it came out that the Arizona State's quarterback was not going to play, Sam Leavitt.
Exactly. And see, a point like that is just Utah catches a big break in that football game, you know, not having
Yep.
the starting quarterback on the other side there. I'm not mad that they're ranked by any means. I just think that 13 ranking for Utah is pretty high. And that's coming from, you know, a Ute fan. I'll call myself a Utah Ute fan. Miami, they shouldn't be in the top 25. Get them out of there. Quit wasting our time with this orange and green logo up there. Just garbage. Tennessee ranked at 25. Come on. They're just trying to get
Well,
that money from the Mannings.
I will say from a betting perspective, this we kind of talked about it last week with overreactions, right? This is where you kind of see the ripple effect where teams starting to get a point or a point and a half, maybe 2 points in betting bump because of the selection committee and where teams are ranked. I think you see that with Georgia and Ole Miss, or excuse me, with Mississippi State this week. But you also got to remember from the overcorrection on the other side, Miami. If you can stomach that, I think there might be some value on those teams that took a big hit this week in the rankings.
I can't stomach it with the Miami. I'll tell you that, Mr. Story. One thing I am interested to see, we'll jump into the games and maybe we'll circle back here to the college football rankings because we could talk for hours about college football rankings. I got a lot of opinions on that one. I want to jump into a game because you mentioned a little bit of overreaction. We got Alabama sitting at number 4 in the college football playoff, which might be an overreaction to some people. They haven't necessarily shown a top 4 team in the nation, an old, let's say, playoff contender, because remember, we just used to take the top 4. Not sure that they should be one of those teams right now. LSU is going to Bama playing this week. We got a line of minus 10, minus 10 and a half, total of 49 and a half in this one, which is kind of low. Mr. Story, is this a little bit of an overreaction to Alabama? Should this line be lower? Should LSU be getting a little more credit, or is that Chip Kelly news really hurt this football team?
I think the Chip Kelly
Brian
news
Kelly, sorry.
definitely. Well, so
Yeah,
yeah,
I
you
screwed
had
up.
me saying it too. Chip Kelly's
I
currently
said
with
that
the
last
Raiders.
night
He's
too.
in the NFL. I didn't know you. Did you know he's in the NFL, Walt?
I knew he moved to the NFL. I don't know
Yeah,
what team he's on, though.
I mean, there's certainly playoff implications for this game. LSU can be explosive in spots. They're still struggling to find that number one running back for whom we've kind of relied on with LSU in the late 20 teens there. When push comes to shove, though, their protection breaks down on any kind of pressure. So if they start getting to the quarterback, Bama's improved pass rush could certainly tilt this game. I don't like that 10.5 number, but at 10, I kind of feel it's a bit of a coin flip, and I might just take the team that's rolling, take the team that's hot with Alabama.
Roll damn tide, boys.
Ooh.
They're going to be ready to play, and I think they're out for blood. And you know, people might argue, like, hey, maybe all the LSU inconsistency left town with Brian Kelly's fake Southern accent, but I doubt it. I'm rolling with the tide in this one.
Have you
And
heard?
there might be a bit of a revenge factor here after last year's shootout. Feels like Alabama's peaking at just the right time, especially with the playoffs coming up very quickly.
Agreed.
Josh, have you heard anyone talking about that accent this week? I hadn't heard it come up, but I was thinking the same thing as soon as he got let go. I was on the podcast. I'm going to mention how his accent got him out of there. I hadn't
Oh
heard it
yeah.
though.
Yeah, I think I caught clips of that like right after it happened.
Yeah.
And then I kind of forgot about it. And obviously with him getting canned, deservedly so, by the way, couldn't happen to just a worse guy. He's a clown. And he was such a bad fit at LSU. Like I could fill up this podcast with Brian Kelly hatred. And I'm not going to do that to you guys or to the listeners, but it was funny that all that stuff kind of started to come out last week again, and it made me laugh all over again.
Understandable. Yeah, I'm surprised he ever left that Notre Dame job. That was a surprising move. I'd go down to LSU where the culture's different for him and that accent. If you guys don't know what Josh is talking about, you can probably Google it. You can Google the Brian Kelly fake accent when he first got off. I believe when he first got off the plane, he did an interview right away using a fake Southern accent, which he doesn't have. And people gave him the business for him. But he's out of there now, so no need to talk about it. We got a much more important football game to talk about. We're gonna talk about the best game in the nation. We're talking about the top team in the nation, that is the Iowa Hawkeyes, playing the Oregon Ducks, who are a good team in their own right, ranked at number 9 right now. But this game is going to be a fantastic watch. Let me tell you, Saturday at 2:30 p.m., Mr. Story, myself, and a couple other buddies, we're heading out to Iowa to watch this football game. That's how exciting it's going to be. We got a line of 5.5, 6.5, depending where you're looking. You're probably not going to see a touchdown.
Seven.
Said, nah, you don't even see that. Let me check the quotes. Come on now. Hold on.
This line has shifted dramatically.
All right. I still got 6.5 on DraftKings, but yeah, there's probably 7 somewhere. It doesn't matter. I'm going to find where that 7 number is, and I got to put some big money on that for this week. Let me tell you, going down to Iowa, I'm not going to have any cash in my pocket
Let me
if that
ask you,
number's
well,
at 7.
how did the odds makers get this one so wrong? 6.5, 7 point spread there. Isn't that crazy that they would be so wrong? In all seriousness, I think that 40 and a half total is what's telling in this game. That, I mean, Oregon is averaging just over 41 points per game this year, and yet the total in this game, the complete total, is less than what Oregon's averaging per game. I mean, they want tempo, right? They want to play fast. Dante Moore, broken nose, he's still going to be out there. The Ducks, I don't they've got to make a statement to get back into that top eight. I think so, right? They're gonna stress anybody with their spacing and their pace and their speed. But Kinnick's one of those stadiums where a lot of that really doesn't matter. Tempos slow down. Iowa wants to drag you into a ground and pound just slugfest. So I'm gonna lay off making a pick on this one. I'm hoping that we get a few more points than that 40 and a half would indicate.
This is a fascinating game to me. And I am probably not as confident as Mr. Wall, but I'm small lean Iowa here. Like I know Oregon has put up a lot of points this year. They only put up 21 against a pretty inferior Wisconsin team. And they didn't necessarily light the world on fire when they lost to Indiana either. So I just you know, and Iowa's got a really strong defense. I think Iowa at home, I'll go smallly in Iowa here.
Here's what I'll say. I'll say Indiana is the perfect game to bring up because we are talking about what Mr. Josh believes in his mind, a number two team in the nation. They deserve it. I don't disagree with you. Mr. Story, you didn't voice your opinion. You think Indiana's number two team in the nation right now?
I honestly think Alabama's probably the
Get
number
out of
two
here.
team in the nation
I'm
again.
sorry I wasted my time asking you. So Josh and I know what's going on. Indiana's the number two team in the nation right now. Iowa played them strong. If you watch that football game, Iowa was controlling that football game the majority of that game until it
Iowa
got
should have won that game. They should have won the
absolute.
game.
Gronowski got hurt, which our starting quarterback, I shouldn't show preferential bias. I'm completely unbiased on this show, so I should be careful about what I
Naturally.
say. But our Iowa Hawkeyes played against Indiana, the number two team in the nation, hard for majority of the game. 3, 4 minutes left in the game, Indiana took over. They ended up winning a still very close one. That is my justification for why the Iowa Hawkeyes will beat the Oregon Ducks, because they can control the football game, like Mr. Story mentioned. They're going to make you play the way they want you to play, especially at Kinnick. I mean, I'm excited for this football game. I'm going to be putting some money on Iowa. I only bet in Iowa once a year. Anyone that listens to this rundown for the past 15 years knows that. This is the week I am betting Iowa because I'm getting a touchdown and I love it at home. Go Hawkeyes. Gonna be an exciting weekend. I know we can't talk about this game forever, so we'll jump to another one I don't care about. Florida State, Clemson. In this football game, Clemson -2.5. Total in this one is 56.5. I should check that line though, Mr. Story. No, it's still -2.5. We got a -2.5 game, Mr. Story.
Yeah, 2 years ago, this game would have had a lot more interest and probably a lot more eyes on it. I think the 3-5 Clemson hosting the 4-4 FSU, who have been disappointing for many years now, at least the last 3 years in a row, doesn't really generate or garner a lot of interest there. Clemson's a small favorite here, -2.5. So basically, on a neutral field, these teams are even strength. I'm not so sure that this game isn't just kind of a back and forth affair. You got a 55.5 point over under. It's a high volatility game. Both teams are capable of offensive swings. FSU's finally starting to come into their own with Castellanos on the center in that offense. So probably stay away from this one pregame. I'm going to keep an eye on things in game, see where momentum takes things, and maybe make a few bets in game, depending on how the teams look.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna stay away from this one. I don't know. I'm either gonna go take a nap, maybe spend some time with the family. This one didn't pique my interest too much. It probably won't on Saturday either. I wouldn't even have a strong lean either way. I don't think they're two very good football teams, and I don't think it will be an entertaining watch. So I will choose to do something else.
There you go. I'll be watching the football game, obviously, but I am not that excited for this one. Clemson, I do think, is going to take it. That's part of the reason I put it on the board. I think Clemson, off of that 45-46 loss last week, I think Mr. Sweeney's going to be fired up. I think he's going to have his team fired up. I think they're going to come out and play a somewhat inferior Florida State football team this week. I think they cover that spread pretty easily at home. One of the main reasons I put this one on the slate. And also, I'd like to bring up the fact that the Hawkeyes will be shutting down Dante Moore this weekend, Mr. Story. I should have said it before. I know he's a great quarterback. All right, fine. We won't jump back to the Hawkeyes. I swear to God, we'll stay away from that football game. We'll jump to another one. Georgia at Mississippi State. Line -7.5 in this football game. Number five team in the nation, by the way, Georgia. But I know you like Mississippi State after what you bet last week, Mr. Story.
Well, they won outright. As we had Mississippi State +4.5, get a nice 4.5, and they ended up winning outright. So how can you be upset about that? Mississippi State looked good doing it against Arkansas. The team is, I think it's strong. I mean, they're 5-4 right now. They had a 4-game skid there, but they played Tennessee tough late. They played Texas A&M. That game was a little bit of a down. And then how do you lose to Florida? But then they played Texas tough too, who just beat Vanderbilt. So I'm happy. This is a tricky spot. Early game, kickoff, those cowbells have been going. I hate that tradition, but it is what it is down there. It makes it a tough place to play. Georgia's playing, chasing that top four. They're playing for style points, right? They're pretty much assuming that they maintain this pace. They're in the playoffs there. The big question is whether they stay disciplined enough and they don't look past Mississippi State to actually take this team seriously, because that number has jumped up from 8.5 where it opened to, in some places, 9.5.
I like what you said, Mr. Story, about the style points. I think that's a big factor here. I really, really do. I think it's important. It's important for the voting. And I, in my opinion, you look for Georgia to put the pedal to the metal and cover.
I don't mind that. I don't know who would bet against Georgia. I'll say that much. Maybe we'll find out a little bit of foreshadowing here, a little bit of foreboding. Maybe is a correct word, a better word for that one. And you are right. This line has moved again every week. Story. We're talking about this. These lines are moving like crazy. And we're talking about you. We used to talk about a half point. Maybe that hook changes. Now we're talking about a full field goal in line movement. I think it's because of that electronic trading. I think that's why we're getting so much movement. We'll jump into another game this week. I don't think this line has moved a whole lot. I'm bringing it up because you got to keep the wifey happy sometimes. Ohio State, number one team in the nation, has to go to Purdue. They have to play the mighty Boilermakers. We got -29.5 in this football game. Yeah, we're still sitting -29.5. You guys can guess which side that is, Ohio State, given those points. Total of 48.5. Come on now, Michael, give me something in this one.
I'm not so sure. If you do the math on this, the odds makers are giving Purdue a 9.5 points is what their expectation is. That's not a whole lot. Now, we don't often see in conference games with 9 or 29.5 point spreads this late in the season, but 30 on the road, 48.5. I mean, coming off a big emotional win. I know Penn State has been had a certainly had a down year, but it is a rival Penn State. Purdue's got a knack for hanging around in these kinds of games. This is the definite. We talked about it in the last game. This is the definition of a look ahead spot, a letdown spot. I think you just got to take the 29.5 and hope that Purdue can keep it within 4 scores.
Yeah, I keep going back and forth on this one. That's so many points. I know Ohio State's good. We just got done talking about how good their defense is and how well their quarterback is playing and their two stud wideouts. Like it, they're a fantastic team. That's so many points on the road. I don't think it's going to be if Purdue covers. I don't think it's going to be because Ohio State necessarily doesn't play well. I think it's because Purdue just goes out there and executes. This one will be interesting to me. I probably will stay away though. I don't think I'd lay any real cash on this one.
I will say the backdoor cover is always open in a game with a spread of 29.5. Just be aware of that. If you're going to take the 29, you're going to lay the 29.5 with Ohio State.
No, it makes complete sense. That's good thing to bring up because backdoor covers will hurt you. You know, it's all part of the numbers, though. It's part of the distributions in how those football games come out. One thing I want to mention about this football game is we actually, I don't know if it was back in 6, 7 years ago, in the same spot, Ohio State was one of the top teams in the nation. They were going to Purdue to play Purdue, and Purdue actually came up with the upset victory, I want to say, Mr. Story. We were over there watching it together at our buddy Mr. Woj's house at his old house. And I was betting live game. I was betting Ohio State because I was like, there's no way Ohio State can lose this football game. Not a chance they're going to lose this football game to this unranked Purdue team. Bet them, bet them, bet them. 50-50, 50-50. And you get to the fourth quarter and you're like, oh my goodness, I have so much money on this game. And then what happens? Ohio State loses that football game. Anything can happen in
Was
these
that the
football
year
games.
that Purdue absolutely stomped them? They blew out Ohio State? That like 48 to
Yeah,
24 affair or whatever it was?
I don't know what
49
the
to 20?
I don't know what the final score was because at one point Ohio State did start coming back, and that's when I thought, you know, I'm gonna hammer this one because they're eventually gonna come through with the win. But yeah, Purdue was up big in that football game. I don't remember what year it was. I
Yeah,
just
that was, I believe, the Dwayne Haskins era, RIP.
it could this must be an NFL reference that I don't get,
No,
but
he
oh, he
passed
passed
away.
away. That's right. That's right. From down
Car
south.
accident, or he was crossing the road.
In Florida. Yeah,
Be
I
careful out
remember
there,
that.
folks.
Yeah, that's terrible news. You never want to hear about that as a young man. But back to that football game. Yeah, I lost a lot of money because I thought Purdue was not going to win that football game. And you know what? Upsets happen. That's just the way college football is. Any given Saturday. Some people like to say any given Sunday. Let's jump into our next topic. Kind of a segue, I guess, Mr. Story. To story time. What are you going to be talking about this week?
Well, I think you segued it perfectly. Let's talk live betting, shall we? Live betting triggers. These are the things that I'm looking for when a game's going on to make me to help me decide whether or not to place some money down. So let's talk live betting triggers. These are key in-game factors that can swing a matchup and create some value on the board, right? The big ones are QB pressure, turnover luck, turnover rate, drive efficiency. Those are three big ones that I'm looking. Basically, you're looking for moments in when the game suddenly tilts in one team's favor, one direction or the other, and the line hasn't fully adjusted yet. That's where the sharp money can be felt. Can you could find some value, and sharp money can jump in there. So Florida State at Clemson, I mentioned it earlier. That's a game. It's a perfect example this week. Both of these teams are capable of quick momentum shifts, and turnovers or explosive drives could completely shift or flip the expected outcome. In a game that has a 2.5 point spread, we see this all the time. Clemson turns the ball over early, or if they score early, Florida State can build a rhythm and control the pace. If they turn the ball over early, then Florida State can build a rhythm and can control the pace, which may make a live swing in their favor faster than most public bettors would expect. On the flip side, if they score early, if Clemson scores early, their offense finds a bit of a rhythm. FSU's can momentum and their odds or their favors can evaporate just like that. So the other thing to watch is efficiency within individual drives. So like teams can score fast and efficiency really matters. Even if a team isn't lighting up the scoreboard, those long methodical drives can control the clock. They can kind of tilt the game subtly. That's why you're keeping an eye on the trenches, those offensive line players early in games, especially like the FSU Clemson game, can be just as important as looking at the box score or the end score there. So those are only three of the things that I'm looking at, but I think they're three of the most important things. Recognizing those in-game triggers in real time can give you a chance to kind of spot those edges that we've talked about so often that aren't as obvious in the pregame lines or the betting percentages up front. Does that make sense?
It makes sense to me, Mr. Story. I'm wondering what kind of questions you're going to get from this one. In my head, I'm thinking the one thing, and this is kind of a cautionary tale because some people don't even know this, but when you're betting live, there's a very big delay between what we're actually watching on the screen and what happened in that football game. I'd be careful because No matter what, the sports book you're betting against, they are faster than you. They know stuff that you do not know. You can actually, if you want to spoil a play or you want to spoil what's going to happen next, you can watch the line in the sports book. It's going to tell you what's going to happen in the next play. So that's one thing that maybe I would have added if I were you. But I like the fact that you brought up that FSU Clemson game. So I'm thinking of betting Clemson here, Mr. Story. And from what you just told me, maybe I'm thinking about doing live game instead. Clemson's the home team in this football game, though. Is that something that you think I want to do?
Well, one of the things that I might look at then is take an eye, keep an eye or explore what's Dabo Swinney's tendency when it comes to the coin flip. Do they take the ball early? Do they defer? If they take the ball early, Cade Klubnik hasn't been exactly careful with the ball this year. Maybe you can get a situation where he throws an interception, they turn the ball over early. You could get a plus money. Right now it's minus 125. Maybe you get a plus money on the money line for Clemson just because of an early turnover. Of course, that puts the team behind the sticks, but those kinds of situations, they can happen early. So there's enough there, I think, especially in that first half, that first quarter, where just understanding how these teams are playing right off the bat really makes a difference throughout the long game. And then second half, you want to look for adjustments. The how do coaches, if they're behind, how do they make adjustments to the team, to the scheme, to get things so they can crawl back into it, versus is a team up big, do they start playing a little more conservatively? And maybe that's a chance where you can get some live dog at a double digit plus spread.
There you go. Josh, are you over there right now taking the Huskies on an exchange? NIU, as we're talking, NIU is playing Toledo, Mr. Story, and they are double digit dog. I'll tell you that much. Are you over there hamming right now, NIU Huskies, to come back in this football game?
I am not. You know, it's funny, as a bettor who's not as seasoned, I would say, as probably you guys. I feel like one of my favorite parts of coming on this podcast is I feel like I can learn a lot. And I've just never been super comfortable or confident with some of the in-game betting. I'm gonna have to listen to a story time on repeat, and by Saturday maybe I'll dabble.
How do you think I learned all my stuff, Josh? I make him do certain topics so I can learn more about it, and I become an informed sports bettor. That's what we do here over in the podcast. Another thing I'd like to mention about those sports betting, which Mr. Story knows this about live game betting, you got to be careful with the juice sometimes because the juice is pretty heavy. The books have to protect themselves from, courtside bettors, as they're called. Those are the people that are at the football game getting ahead of the sports books. So you got to be careful with that juice, right, Mr. Story?
100%. That's very important to know, and I want to stress that I've kind of you and I I would hesitate to call us experts, but we're seasoned bettors. We've been around for a while. You more so than me when it comes to the in-game stuff. If you're not comfortable with it, there's no reason to jump right in, because all of those prep bets, there's tons of them throughout the rest of the game. So you want to make sure that regardless, you have good bankroll management, good strategies, and you don't bet beyond your means. It can be easy to kind of get wrapped up in the fervor of betting live, and you get overexposed. So you just want to be very careful. Anytime we talk about these kinds of things, you want to be very careful and make sure that you're not overexposing yourself and putting too much of your bankroll at risk.
Love it. Fervor. Come on now. You're bringing fervor on this podcast. We are not to that level, Mr. Story. You are talking above our heads here. We just pick football games. That's all we do over here. But I love it. I love the fervor and I love the explanation about the risk management. That's always the most important thing. Never bet above your means in anything we do. But having said that, we're going to jump into the rundown pick 'em and we're going to make people put their money where their mouth is. I'm going to be putting money on anything these guys say today. One of them, I might not be liking what he has to say, but I'm still going to do it. Who should we let go first today, Mr. Story?
Well, you hinted at Wall. So, Josh, if it's okay with you, I'll go ahead and jump in.
Yeah, fire away, man.
All right, I'm going to put this in the chat just so you guys know that I'm not BSing. You can go ahead and pull that up. And we had talked about it. Well, you said if I could find a minus 120 line, I could get it. Mississippi State plus 10, minus 120 on Fanatics. Go hammer that line, people. I love this line. Georgia's on the road in Starkville, laying 10 points, 9.5 in most places, but 10 if you look. This is a tricky road spot early in the day. Those cowbells are going to be going. It's a motivated home crowd. Mississippi State have shown that they can compete with the top teams. They thrive at home. That double digit spread, I like that key number. Gives you cushion if Georgia comes out a little flat if after their rivalry week. I like the value on the home dog here. Could be a close one late. Give me Mississippi State plus 10.
Mississippi State plus 10. I got to write this down because I'm not going to be happy betting against Georgia.
I
I don't
Knew
know
you
that
weren't gonna like it, but
I haven't
I
bet
gotta go.
against.
They won outright for us last week.
They did. I'll give you that. It's been like 10 years maybe since I bet against Georgia in a football game. Anyways, I love betting against them in college basketball. Mr. Josh, I'm gonna let you go here. I know what game it is, but I don't know what side you're going on. Where are you going this week?
So one of the most fascinating games out there, in my opinion, is BYU at Texas Tech. BYU is my team here. I've been reading a little bit about the matchup. Texas Tech is 6-0 against the spread as at least a 10-point favorite. But I don't think they have beat a team as good as BYU in that regard when they were compiling some of those stats. BYU isn't exactly Arkansas Pine Bluff. Okay, they're not Kent State either. BYU is a real football team. They've won both their games as an underdog this year. I still like Texas Tech to win, but give me BYU plus 10.
There you go. I'm was a huge fan of Texas Tech earlier in the season. I think we might have talked about it amongst ourselves. Huge fan of them. I do think they're still a great football program, but I haven't been that impressed with them over the last 2 weeks. They have shown some signs of deterioration, in my opinion, some signs that BYU, the Cougs, could come through with this one. So are you seeing BYU plus 10? Is that the best you're seeing, Mr. Story?
I'm just looking it up as we speak. I will say, Wal, that $28 million does buy a pretty good football team. So
Yeah,
it's
he's referring to the booster that is a very rich man over there that just keeps giving money, funneling money into that Texas Tech program. The best I'm seeing is plus 10. We got to make sure Josh
I
gets the
got ten and
best
a
one.
half on FanDuel here at minus 115 if you want it, Josh.
10 and a half.
Can we give him the ten and a half, Josh? Or Wal, can we give him the ten and a half?
Yeah, if you say so, sir. I'm not on FanDuel right now, so I can't see it, but I will trust you. Give him that hook. Hopefully it comes into play and you could save that man some money. Actually, more so with the pick'em, the bragging rights, right?
That's
Exactly. It's
right.
all about,
we do like making money here, but we like bragging rights.
Mr. Story, while you're over there on FanDuel, can you let me know? What I have for my pick'em here is I'll tell you what I had, and I think this might change. Rutgers plus 1.5. I think they're playing Maryland this week. They're a home dog. I like home dogs. I like how Rutgers has been playing football this season, but I want to see where those Iowa Hawkeyes are at. You told me, this is what you said earlier in the program, Mr. Story. You said I could be getting 7 points on my Iowa Hawkeyes to win the football game at their home stadium. Can you find that for me, sir?
What, am I looking Rutgers or Iowa? Because I found the Rutgers one.
Iowa. I,
Okay.
Rutgers, you're not going to get 7 anywhere, brother,
No, but
unless you're paying
that
some money.
you want to talk about lines changing? That line changed too. That's Rutgers minus one now.
What?
So
I just looked at it before the program started, Mr. Story.
I'm telling you, things are moving fast this year.
Oh, they still have, no, they DraftKings still has it plus 1.5.
Okay,
Where are
yeah,
you at, FanDuel?
FanDuel, yeah.
We're talking about
I'm
minus
six
118.
and a half. I'm gonna find you a seven here, Walt. It's
You,
a little rough going. I got six and a halfs across the
I'm
boards
not,
here.
problem is I'm not seeing 7 anywhere. I mean, there's a huge difference. And we talked about this, I think 3 weeks ago. It would have been our week 8 podcast, I want to say. You get the difference between, and I know to some of you might be saying, well, what's the difference between 6.5 and 7? Well, it's a huge difference. We're talking about a major difference, probably 20, 30 points on that juice, on that minus 110 going to minus 130, minus 140, depending on that hook when you're at a 7, which is a key number. That's the point that we were bringing up a few weeks ago. Were you able to find anything, Mr. Story, or am I sticking with just Rutgers?
I've got everybody is goes from 6.5 to 7.5 with the exception of Fanatics. Their seven is minus 135
Nah, that's too much.
plus seven.
I,
Yeah.
we, we don't cheat on this program. We don't do that. So I'm going to stick with Rutgers. Maybe I'll bet Iowa against Nebraska for my pick 'em. I'll stick with Rutgers plus 1.5. But if you see that number out there, Rundown Nation, you hammer it. You move that number back down. You let them know the Hawkeyes are coming for you. You let them know it's time for some roasted duck. We're going to ruffle some feathers. I love it. We're heading out to watch that football game. Josh, I appreciate you being on this program this week. You always make the program so much better when you're on here. I don't know what it is, if it's your knowledge, if it's the way you talk, if it's just the different voice. You don't have to listen to me in story, but I appreciate you being on here, sir.
Oh, thanks. Thanks again for having me back on, guys. Look forward to a future appearance if you'll have me back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll be there for maybe for the Big Ten championship game, although Indiana will not be playing it. It'll be the Iowa Hawkeyes playing against
Oh,
Ohio
geez.
State.
Oh, here we go. I will actually be at that game. So, I look forward to discussing that at length.
Fantastic. I hope you get to watch our Hawkeyes win the football game. Mr. Story, I appreciate you being on the program as
Of
always.
course. Of course, Josh, good to see you. We will reconvene after week 11 to count our winnings.
Sounds good.
Absolutely. Until next week, everybody, stay sharp, sports bettors.